You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Saturday's Racing Podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack and I'm joined for this particular edition by Mick Norton. Mick, how are you?
Good, thanks, Jack. I'm great to see a bit of rain about, which has really helped the fields for the Cheltenham Open meeting. And good to see some really good horses out over the weekend.
Yeah, not often we encourage a downfall, is it?
I know, it's not. Normally in November we have praying for it to stop, but it's been a bit scarce, hasn't it? But
yeah.
Thankfully enough's arrived to produce good jumping ground, which is all we want. We don't want a bog.
No.
Because that makes a mockery of it, but what we've got is perfect jumping ground, which is ideal for this time of year.
Yep, absolutely. Good to see it all beginning for the National Hunt season now as we gear towards Christmas, and plenty going on over this weekend.
Yeah, certainly is, and only a couple of weeks in a wave now from the Hennessy Gold Cup. This weekend at Cheltenham is now the first big handicaps of the year. But the Hennessy used to be the standout race of the early part of the season. Great to see the jumpers coming out in force. And quite a few Irish raiders as well over at the Open meeting, which is good to see.
Absolutely. Lots of top yards represented.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at the first four races on the Cheltenham card on Saturday. The bits of news today, we're recording this on Friday, from the likes of Cheltenham is that Altio will not run on Sunday for Nicky Henderson. He will now go to Kempton instead. And Robin Dickin has been talking up the chances of Thomas Crapper as well in his races. But we're going to focus on the action on Saturday. And we begin with the 12:40, which is a juvenile hurdle. It's over the 2 miles, this one.
2 miles and a half a furlong, if you want to be technical. Or if you want to be even more precise, it's 2 miles and 87 yards.
Let's be technical. 2 miles and 87 yards is the distance on this one.
Well, often that yard can make a big difference, can't it?
Absolutely can. Yeah, and you've had a look through this card. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it's about the time when the pecking order starts to get established for the juvenile hurdlers. Whether this will tell us too much, I think we'll have to wait and see. If we see a really good sparkling performance by something, yeah, so all well and good. We'll go through them in race card order. The Paul Nicholls trained Wealth de Mott is an interesting French recruit. He's got the penalty. It's not a huge penalty, but it's the penalty nevertheless for winning the Clairefontaine hurdle when he was really well backed, and he's certainly a very interesting recruit to the game. And Sean Bowen taking the ride for Paul Nicholls. Diablo de Sibilla, trained by Nick Williams, Eddie Kelly. He's got plenty of experience, having had three starts of hurdles, but been a very disappointing favourite since his debut win at Uttoxeter. And despite his lofty rating of 1-2-2, I doubt if he could win a handicap off of it. And his attitude needs addressing. That was an appalling performance at Huntingdon, attitude and technique-wise, so I can't see him winning it, unless he's made a big turnaround in the last 41 days, which is not impossible. East Indies, interesting contender from the Gary Moore yard. Josh Moore taking the ride. He was a mid-80s flat horse, and he was well back to make a winning hurdling debut at Plumpton. And he's an interesting contender on just the back of one run. Goes on the shortlist. Defi de Sol, I think he's probably the one the market will want. More so on, rather than what... I mean, what he did at Foss last was perfectly satisfactory. He looked... he won his delight. He showed a good technique. And couldn't have won much easier. The form's very suspect. But that's hardly his fault. He couldn't have been more visually impressive. And I'm sure there's a lot more to come from him. And there's an interesting hurdling recruit from a yard that does produce good three-year-old juvenile hurdlers. And that's Dino Velvet for Alan King, Wayne Hutchinson taking the ride on this son of Nakus. He was only a maiden in the and three runs on the flat in France. Managed to finish third once, but didn't do run too badly off a mark in the mid-80s. I don't know where he got that from on his French form at Chelmsford. So he's an interesting recruit, Dino Velvet. And I might be interested in him if he was strong in the market, but on what I've got in front of me, I'm going to stay with Defi de Sol.
Defi de Sol, then, the selection in the first race from Cheltenham. Tomorrow, the 12:40, the juvenile hurdle. We're going to move on to the next race, which is the 1:15. And this is quite a small field here.
Small but select, if you like. I mean, it's all about Thistlecrack, isn't it?
Yeah.
His second start over fences. He's never put a foot wrong on his chasing debut at Chepstow. He's a four-time grade one winning hurdler, including around here. And he just looks an absolute natural over fences. And, if all goes well, they're only going to be playing for places, aren't they? The opposition is Marinero. He's the most experienced of these over fences. And Barry Gerrity might just try and put his experience to good use here. I think that's his best chance of beating Thistlecrack, but he just come from the inform yard of Henry de Bromhead as well. So it provides some certainly more opposition than he faced at Chepstow, that's for sure. Akalim, he's seen Thistlecrack's backside four times in his last five starts, so I can't see any reason why it's going to be any different here. But, he's a decent horse in his own right, of course, a distance winner as well, and rated 140. More interesting content might be Ballycross, who was a dual hurdle winner and will make a good chaser, judged on his debut at Utoctator. But this is a big ask to turn Thistlecrack over here. Let's just hope for a nice safe passage for all four runners, and may the best man win.
Yeah, absolutely. You like to think that Marinero might make a bit of a race of it, make it a bit interesting.
I think Gerrity will try and make his experience tell. He's vastly experienced over fences, Marinero, and not a bad horse as well. Keeps good company in his native island, and never lets anybody down. Always there or thereabouts. He's a good horse.
Okay, so that's the 1:15 then, all about Thistlecrack in that particular race. We move on to the 1:50, which is a handicap chase. And this is over. It's a distance one. It's 3 miles and three furlongs, isn't it?
Yeah, three and a half.
And unlike the previous race, there are plenty to look into here, but we can probably eliminate a few, can't we?
Probably can, yeah. There's quite a few coming back from long absences or out of form or whatever. But actually, my shortlist consists of horses who are coming back from absences. We'll get to that in a moment. I'll go through them in race card order. We've got last year's winner, Sausalito Sunrise, coming back for more. He held his form well through the rest of the season, but he is £14 higher than in this when he won this last year. And he has got the steadier of top weight. He carried 11.3 to victory last year when he was rating 1.44. He's rating 1.58 now. And although he did win again after this, his mark was starting to creep up. Maybe he's in the grip of the handicapper now. And it does look as though a place might be the best he can hope for off top weight. Manalo Rocco, very interesting runner this. He's got course winning form. He won the 4 miler here at the festival, the Amateur Riders 4 miler, and he looks a real strong stayer, and he's got plenty of form fresh as well. And this is his handicap debut, and that mark of 1.55 may well underestimate him, Manalo Rocco. I'd want to see him strong enough in the market, which I think he will be, because I do think this will have been his target. And the signs are that John O'Neill's horses are just peaking it about now. So Manalo Rocco is going to get the vote. Others to consider are Viconte de Noyer. We're still in it towards the top of the handicap here. Ex-Henry de Bromhead, very useful on his day. And he finished third at entry on his final start last year, went off a £4 lower mark. So I don't think the mark is... is going to be inconvenienced him. And, you know, maybe a change of scenery from Henry de Bromhead to Colin Tezard might well perk him up again if he's strong in the market. I'd want him on side, certainly in the place market. And the other one to consider is another one of John Joe's Beg to Differ. This one ridden by Noel Feely. He ran really well on his season reappearance. He was just getting into it as well when stumbling an unseated rider when in the Ultima Handicap at the festival last year. That was his final start last year. And that was off of this mark, 1.43 as well. He was being given a very patient ride. I think Aidan Coleman riding that day. Didn't fall, didn't unseat. He'd stumbled and in, no chance, but he was just creeping into it, Beg to Differ. I think John Joe's got a strong hand here with Manila Rocco and Beg to Differ, and I think the safest way for me to play this is to Dutch those two. But my strongest fancy would be Manila Rocco.
Okay, Manila Rocco then, as Mick suggested, perhaps to be Dutched with Beg to Differ as well. A couple of selections, a couple of runners for John Joe O'Neill in that particular race. And we move on to the final race that we're going to look at on today's podcast, which is the 2.25. It's the Gold Cup Handicap Chase. And, well, we've heard a lot about this over the past few days, haven't we?
Yeah.
More of that hot favourite earlier in the week. What do we think?
Well, if his hurdle race marks anything to go out, it's an absolute handicap certainty.
Yeah, John Joe O'Neill again as well.
Yeah, this is only his fourth start over fences. And although he's got somewhere to go to match his hurdling exploits on the bare bones of what he's done over fences, he's won a couple of easy runs, but then he ran a really good race when he was up to grade last time, and on his final start last year, 154 is marked. It's 170 odd is over hurdles. You know, he's a very well handicapped horse. I'm sure that they'll have him spot on for this. He's got a really good record, fresh, and I'm not surprised he's strong in the market. More of that. The mark's just too tempting to ignore. But you know, with a field of this quality, there's got to be dangers. And some interesting ones as well. I think Colin Tizard's got a couple here. A couple of horses he's got from the pots is that used to be trained by Henry de Bromhead. Sizing Granite is a very interesting handicap debut on his first start for Colin Tizard. Group 1 winning chaser he is Sizing Granite in Ireland. And he's got in here off 1.54, which is fair enough. And he's got decent profile fresh as well. He'd be interesting, strong in the market. Colin's other one is Sizing Platinum, who had a run 3 weeks ago, so that'll stand him in good stead. A good first run for the new yard, suggesting his new stable can soon find a decent race off of this Mark 1.42, and this may well be it. And as I say, he's got the benefits of race fitness on his side. Double Shuffle comes from a stable in red hot form, Tom George, and new stable jockey Eddie Heskin. He went up £5 for that reappearance at Chepstow, so that just puts him £10 higher than his last win. But the stable are in form, but he could have just done without going up £5 for getting beat, which is a bit of a mystery to me. And the other interesting one is, there's a couple. Paul Nicholls has got two interesting runners. The unbeaten this season, Frodon, he's got that £5 penalty, but with his £9 weight for age for him being a four-year-old, he's also got the services of Harry Cobden, who can take off three. Well, and Harry couldn't claim his three when he won last time. It wasn't a handicap, but he's got in this off 1.51, which if he was racing off his proper mark, he'd be number eight on the card. Instead, he's number 14. And that's a result of the £9 weight for age allowance. And he's improving with leaps and bounds. And you can't really leave him out with Paul Nicholls excelling at his best ever October, I think, Paul Nicholls. I think I was reading somewhere. So we can't rule out Frodon with that. Bull Move, this is his stiffest task to date by some margin, but you can't leave him out. And Paul's other one, as to me, he had a confidence-boosting win at Fontwell 3 weeks ago, and he looks an each-way player on the back of that. So fiercely competitive, as you might expect. And you mentioned at the top of the podcast that Robin Dickon had been talking to Thomas Crapper, who was getting weight from all bar one of the field. Mm. You know, there's loads and loads of I could go on all day talking about this. I mean, Rebecca Curtis's horse is Raw Well handicapped after a disappointing time last season, and she's got a couple there, Vintage Vinny and Potter's Cross. You could go on and on and on.
Is it one of those races you could look at 10 times and come up with a different winner?
Yeah, but I'd still come up with more of that, because he's a class act at the race and he's too well handicapped to ignore.
Yeah, more of that than the selection in the 225, which is the Gold Cup handicap chase. So more of that for Mick in that race. Also, just to quickly recap on the others. In the 150, Minella Rocco was the fancy. Thistlecrack in the 115. And the 1240, it was Defy de Soul.
Yeah, I think forecast. I mean, Thistlecrack could be a prohibitive odds, but I think Thistlecrack to beat Marinero might be the forecast in that. Thistlecrack race
sounds good. That's the 1:15 at Cheltenham on Saturday. Mick, as ever, thank you for your selections and good luck with all of your bets this weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Jack. And I'll be in on Sunday, so we'll be able to review it and see where we went right or where we went wrong.
Yeah, and follow the final day's action as well.
Absolutely,
very much looking forward to that, Mick. Thank you very much, and the Racing Podcast will be back for Sunday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.